morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, Jamie George and John Rahor. We're talking about a Packers victory over the Chicago Bears on Thursday Night Football last night. To talk about that, we have a special guest on the line, Packers tight end Tom Crabtree. Good morning, Tom. I'm expecting a pretty boring interview, seeing as you didn't really do anything of note last evening.
Yeah, you know, not much going on last night. Pretty boring Friday morning for me so far.
Yeah. Wait, should we talk about the season premiere of Glee?
Yeah, Glee was amazing last night. season four premiered last night, and it was fantastic. It was, everything I thought it would be. So I'm, I guess with that, I'm pretty pumped about that this morning. So.
Of course we're kidding, but I wanted to start off by asking you, Tom, if you know the significance of 4th and 26 in Packers history.
You know, I do. I wish I didn't, but I do. and hopefully, I know it's not going to cure any past, negative connotations with that phrase, I guess. But, you know, hopefully last night maybe just chipped away at that a little bit. National TV, and especially against the Bears, 4th and 26 for us, it worked out pretty well last night.
Yes. Just to set the scene here, once upon a time before Tom arrived in Green Bay, in 2004, the Packers defense gave up a 4th and 26 to the Philadelphia Eagles in the playoffs. And had they stopped them on that play, the Packers would have won a playoff game and advanced to the NFC Championship game. But, Tom, did you feel anything fateful about last evening?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Did you feel anything fateful about last evening? Did it feel like fate that you did it?
I don't know how to describe it. It was really just a strange situation. It was like, I knew going into the game, but in 26, I was like, I was really confused. I thought I was dreaming for a minute. I didn't know what was going on. I was a little confused. But hey, that's the faith and trust that our coaches have in us is, to run something like that, on 4th and 26. They trust us to do that. And, we have no choice but to execute and make that the right call.
That certainly was odd because, on most field goals, it's 4th and 3, 4th and 5, whatever. You can still get a first down even if you get the touchdown. But last night it was touchdown or nothing. What?
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. The craziest thing about it was, it wasn't that it was, 4th and a couple. And I just happened to score as well. It was all or nothing on that play. It was either touchdown or it's a horrible call and, someone didn't do their job and someone didn't execute. And so we really had no choice but to score. And, going through it in practice, practicing that play the last, since training camp started, that's kind of the scenario I had in my head every time we practiced it. I was like, okay, we're going to, we get in this situation. We're going to have a couple yards to go. I'm going to, maybe grind it out for a couple hard-fought yards, pick up a first down, and everyone's going to be happy. And, it definitely, everyone is happy. It turned out probably much better than I guess the scenario had played out in my head, and, it worked out as well as it could.
Take us through the X's and O's of it. How did the play develop and how was it executed?
Well, we just, you know, we had some scenarios or lineups, you know, as far as their defense goes, in our heads, where we actually had an option to kill the play, or they signed it was kind of the look we wanted. And on top of that, that it was all or nothing on that play. And I kind of had a feeling before the snap that, you know, I was going to score and probably go untouched just because of the look, and the situation. I felt, you know, before the snap, I thought the result we got, I thought that's how it was going to play out. And sure enough, it did.
How excited were guys like Don Barclay and Evan Dietrich Smith, who basically all they got to play on is the field goal and extra point unit? How excited were they to be part of that?
You know, they were pumped. I mean, everybody just, I think that really, really picked up the team, and not that we were playing bad or down or anything before that, but, I think it really kind of gave us that extra boost, that kind of sent us over the top and got everybody going. But yeah, guys like Evan and Don, they really made that play go. It was like I was saying to somebody last night, it was just, for me, it was just a matter of catching the ball and then turning, and it seemed like just turning and running in a straight line. So I felt like just about anybody could have done it. Luckily, you know, they trusted me to do it and execute it. But, you know, Tim had the perfect pitch, and those guys up front just, I mean, that lane couldn't have been any bigger, and they did an awesome job.
Not to be a suck-up or a psychophant here, but I personally thought you looked the best you ever have with the ball in your hands last night. You really exploded through that hole. Did you make any kind of commitment to your strength and conditioning this season?
I think you always do. You always do in the offseason, I guess. So maybe a little bit of that offseason, a little bit of that weight room work came into play there. I was pretty explosive, I guess, and I don't know if I felt very explosive. I was kind of worried, you know, before I saw the replay on the big screen and everything. I was like, oh man, I didn't look slow up there. But I guess it's been generally positive reviews as far as my speed goes, so I'm happy with that. My dad was not happy with my ball security there at the end when I raised the ball in the air. My dad told me he was very nervous and told me, you know, don't raise the ball until you've scored, and which I tend to agree with, but I was pretty pumped, and I knew I was going to score, so, you know, I had to put a little icing on that cake.
I just wanted to talk briefly here about the offense as well, seeing as your blocking is part of what made the running game come alive last night. What was the difference between the 49ers game and last night's game against the Bears in terms of running the ball?
You know, that's a great question. We haven't even reviewed the film yet from last night, but you know, we really didn't change anything up. We didn't do anything drastic. We stuck with what we do. You know, we just stuck with what we do and what we know and what we practice every day. And, you know, last night it was just, things were just clicking and hitting a little better than week one. And maybe that just comes with a little bit of chemistry as an offense, just, you know, learning and moving on from week one, kind of learning from it. And, you know, I think that's what that comes down to.
I have to ask, was there any sense of urgency or that it was a must-win game last night?
No, not at all. It was, you wouldn't have thought it was any different leading up to this game than, you know, as if we had won last week. I mean, that's just how we go about our business. It was, there was no panic, there was no, nothing like that. I mean, everybody was cool, everybody was, you know, our general goofy selves. There was no change. Guys were, everybody was loose and was still getting our work done. And it was, that's just kind of how we go about our business.
As I let you go here, are you glad to get the weekend off before you prepare for the Seahawks on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the nice thing about that's the other side of having a short week is on, you know, after the game you have a long week and a little more time to prepare, a little more time to rest and heal up. So I think we're all looking forward to having this weekend off and kind of taking it easy.
Well, congratulations last night and good luck next week in the game, Tom. And thanks for joining us here on Railbird Central as always.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Packers tight end Tom Crabtree joining us here on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Obviously, I'm already seeing an increase in viewership here as we have the hero of last night's game joining us here on the show. And once again, I mentioned this last week, Tom Crabtree has graduated from Railbird Institute, Technical Institute, whatever. He used to be a regular Monday guest here on the show and has graduated and moved on, now hosting his own show, Clubhouse Live, over with the crew of the Appleton Post Crescent. So congratulations to Tom on graduating and moving up the food chain. As we have our own great guest here on Railbird Central on Mondays now, long snapper Brett Goode joins us every Monday and will this upcoming Monday. And we'll ask him about the fake touchdown or fake field goal for a touchdown as well, as he was the long snapper on the play and blocking for Tom on that play. So fantastic stuff. Excited about all these cool things going on about Railbird Central and just excited about the Packers win in general, right, folks? Packers winning last night, beating the Chicago Bears in a nationally televised football game. And you know what? It got off to a slow start. It's easy to forget now, right, after the win. But do you remember how it was scoreless in the first quarter? How both teams were just punting back and forth to each other? How nobody was even crossing the 50-yard line? And then all of a sudden, the Packers get the fake field goal. Well, they had the field goal before that as well, which finally got on the board. But then the field goal happened, and it's as if the floodgates opened. From that point on, the Packers were pretty dominant. Then they get the Tremont Williams interception. They get the long field goal from Mason Crosby later. Just a great night for the Packers. And how about Clay Matthews? How about Clay Matthews? I can't go any further into this show without mentioning the dominant performance of the Packers outside linebacker. 3.5 sacks last evening, 3.5, make it a total of 6 now on the season when combined with the first game against the 49ers. One of the few positive performances to come out of that first game. So Clay Matthews putting back-to-back good games. And I am reminded of 2010. You might remember in 2010, Clay Matthews has 6 sacks through the first 2 games. And it's very reminiscent of that. For what it's worth, the Packers won the Super Bowl that season. Now, let's not get ahead of ourselves and say the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. Of course, we all hope it. But what I do hope you're going to see come out of this, out of the good early season performance of Clay Matthews, is that it's going to start to open up more opportunities for other players on the team. I think that's what happened in 2010. All of a sudden, Clay Matthews is the most feared player in the NFL with all this, these 6 sacks early on. And then he gets all the attention from opposing teams, all the game planning. And then Cullen Jenkins breaks through, and then B.J. Raji breaks through. Jamie George says on our live blog, one word, New Orleans Super Bowl baby. We have to say that really fast and all together to make it one word. But yes, that's what everyone wants, right? The Packers definitely, and I wanted to bring this up because it has not been said very much or not examined in depth anywhere that I've seen too much, but the Packers really got a good performance from their rookies last night. How about that? You know, of course, I mean, to set the scene here, Packers didn't have a very good performance on defense a year ago. They set about rectifying that situation by spending their first six draft choices all on the defensive side of the football. They didn't do too much in the opening day loss to the 49ers, but last night, all of a sudden, a little bit of a breakthrough, and these rookies playing a large role in the Packers' defense. Now, unfortunately, probably the first-round draft choice, Nick Perry of the Packers, may be playing the smallest role of the rookies, as he kind of got demoted a little bit, it seemed like, with Eric Walden stealing some snaps away. And you know, it's basically more to do with the good play of Eric Walden than anything, coming off the suspension in week one and, you know, really looking good last night. But the rest of the rookies on the team, Leviticus 268 points out on the live blog, Worthy looked good last night. He certainly did. Finally showing some signs of a pass rush. Him and Mike Daniels both getting credit for sacks last night. Rookie Jerron McMillan getting credit for an interception. Casey Hayward making his debut on defense in the dime package. The Packers really making some changes since the first game. They not only make the change at cornerback, Jared Bush now on the bench, Sam Shields getting the start, playing in the nickel, both in the base defense as well. And I thought, coming into the game, okay, Jared Bush is still going to play in the dime defense. Well, that wasn't the case either. Casey Hayward was in the dime defense, so he was making his debut, played pretty well for his first game ever. And then as the nickel safety, MD Jennings got the start last week. Packers insert Jerron McMillan into the lineup this week. He comes up with the interception. Should have had another. And, yes, so good start from the rookies last night, from Daniels, Worthy, McMillan, Hayward. And you know, Perry's, he hasn't, I think, played that poorly. Hasn't played that poorly. So, you know, I think he'll come along. He's off to a little bit of a slow start. But, you know, he's going to be all right. He's going to be okay. Just give him some time. The Packers really are getting good play from all their outside linebackers, which is good. So, I mean, you know, in addition to Clay Matthews, Eric Walden's playing well. Desmond Moses looks like he's deserving of playing time. You know, that's only a good thing. And you know, Nick Perry needs to diversify his game. But he is showing power. He is showing that he does have a good bull rush and has some strength. You know, he's got that going for him. He needs to diversify the game. You know, that can't be his only thing he's got in his back pocket. He can't be a one-trick pony. But it's something good to start with. Something good to start with. He'll come along. He'll come along. But fantastic performance from the defense last night. A lot of criticism of defensive coordinator Dom Capers coming into the game. Obviously having a historically bad defense last season. I mean, we can't sugarcoat that. Again, Packers giving up the most passing yards in the history of the NFL last season. I've said that and written that so many times, I feel like a broken record. You know, the problems didn't look fixed in week one, but it was a different team in week two. And you know, How about the performance of Tremont Williams? He not having a very good performance in week one either. But wow, what a job. What a job last night. The highlight reels will show Tremont Williams getting two interceptions, and they're great. That's fantastic. Fantastic. Great job, Tremont, on the two interceptions. But perhaps even more impressive was how he blanketed wide receiver Brandon Marshall last night for zero targeted passes in the first half. And by the end of the game, limiting Marshall to only two catches for a meaningless 24 yards. I mean, the guy you were most worried about coming into the game, the new offseason acquisition of the Chicago Bears, being held in check by Tremont Williams. Fantastic, fantastic job last night. From you know, holding a receiver almost catchless to grabbing two interceptions himself, Tremont Williams is off to an all-pro start to the season after two games. We need more performances like that going forward. We're only 2 weeks into the season, but he's off to a great start so far. So what we keep an eye on Tremont Williams as we go forward. Question from Kevin Lamb on the live blog. How about Sam Shields? Did not hear his name a lot last night, which is a good thing. Yes, when you don't hear a player's name, a cornerback, that means they're doing their job. That means they're not getting beat. And Sam Shields was not beat last night. Maybe he gave up a pass here or there, but they were very few. And Sam Shields continuing to play very aggressive once again, throwing his body around, making some tackles out there. He has really gotten the message. Really. I mean, it's a different Sam Shields out there this year. Not the guy who was afraid to tackle last year. He got the message loud and clear, and he is playing well. Now, the Packers offense, we've been talking about the defense the whole show here so far, and special teams. Let's talk about the offense a little bit. Not their usual dominant self, not the usual dominant team that was on display last year, at least. But, you know, doing enough to win. But I will say this, Packers ground game getting going finally. You know, we talked a little bit about it with Tom Crabtree, but it was good to see the Packers having a modicum of success on Thursday night. You know, in week one against the 49ers, Cedric Benson has 9 rushes for 18 yards, an average of 2.0 yards per carry. And that, of course, is just not going to cut it. Just not going to cut it. 2.0 yards per carry. But last night, Cedric Benson doubling that. What did he average? 4.1. He ended up with 81 yards on the night. And, you know, Cedric Benson didn't break off any long carries or anything. But he doesn't need to. If he can do 81 yards every game, and average 4.1 yards a carry, that's all the Packers are going to ask. I mean, we would love more, no doubt about it. No, we're not gonna complain if he does better. But if he can do that all year long, that's all we're asking. Added 4 catches, did nice on those dump-off passes from Aaron Rodgers there, really opening things up underneath in the second quarter. Yeah, so good job by Cedric Benson last night. Alex Green making his debut, getting 2 carries, not going anywhere. But Randall Cobb, though, getting a few carries, including one for, what was it? Randall Cobb having a long of 28 yards last night. He took that little pitch, that little toss from Rodgers, 20-plus yards last night. So Randall Cobb becoming part of the ground game, and that is really helping out the Packers' offense. And you know, still working as a wide receiver as well. Packers passing game not getting going all that well. The left side of the offensive line really struggling last night. Marshall Newhouse in particular getting beat by both Shay McClellan and Julius Peppers last night. You know, everybody, he had such a positive performance against the 49ers. You thought, oh, great. We're back and we're continuing to talk about a Packers victory over the Chicago Bears last night. DJ Protege on the live blog encouraging that we go to 9:30 today. And maybe I will. Maybe I will go a little bit extra long today to make up for a little bit of a snafu here. We'll see if maybe I'm not going to go to 9:30 exactly, but we'll continue on. We'll see as we go here. I'll tell you what, folks, the easier it makes it much easier on me to go longer with this show if I do have phone calls, and I'm throwing the phone number up on the blog here so I don't have to talk constantly. If you want to talk some Packers football with me and point out some things, share your thoughts, feel free. That makes it a whole lot easier for me to extend this show. I do want to talk Packers football today. Heck, who doesn't after a win like that? It certainly looked bad coming into the game. Certainly looked, almost like a must win. The players don't want to admit it. Nobody really wants to admit it. But I tell you what, here's why I thought it was, you could maybe categorize the game as a must win last night, and it's because of this reason. The Packers had two home games to start the season. Now, we're playing a little bit of make-believe, but imagine the Packers lost last night, and they started 0-2. They would only have six home games the rest of the season. That's why I think it was so crucial last night to win. Now, had it been a road game and they lost, I would have maybe felt a little bit better, meaning they'd get another home game later. But it is, you know, one of those things where it's tough to win on the road in the NFL. And certainly the Packers have shown that they could do that last season, but, it's tough. It's tough. So I don't want to categorize it as a must win last night. And of course, this is in retrospect. But man, if the Packers lost, it would have been really tough on them the rest of the season with those two home games right away. But anyhow, it's... Let's talk briefly here, at least, about the special teams from other people other than Tom Crabtree. And of course, he did a great job here. But the special teams performance from the specialists was fantastic. I'm talking specifically about punter Tim Mastay and kicker Mason Crosby. Now, Tim Mastay has the touchdown pass, and that's pretty rare when a punter has a touchdown pass. But the way he punted the ball was fantastic and helped to limit, arguably, the best kick returner in NFL history last night. Devin Hester had two punt returns for 8 yards, I think. Harmless yards, 4-8 harmless yards. Mastay doing a good job. 3 of his 5 punts landing inside the 20. He did have the 1 touchback, which is a negative, but out of 5 punts, we'll give him that. But forcing Devin Hester to fair catch the ball. And even when he wasn't doing that, the coverage was right there to contain him. How about the one tackle by John Kuhn on Devin Hester where he just dove and took out his legs? I love that play. I just love solid tackles like that. You know, that almost, it gets me almost as excited as a touchdown. Now, I'm kind of weird like that, but when I just see nice, solid, you know, form tackle, well, that wasn't a form tackle, it was a diving tackle, but just to take out the legs and take them down right then and there, God, I love to see that. That is football the way it was meant to be played. And so Tim Maste, you know, having a heck of a game last night. He might have been the player of the game between his touchdown pass and the way he punted the ball and helped to limit Devin Hester. Unbelievable job. And his partner in crime, Mason Crosby, having a heck of a night as well. Mason Crosby actually helping to, on the fake field goal, run to the left side when all the action was to the right, hoping he took a defender or two with them, and or at least just delaying them enough to watch and maybe slowly react to the development of the Packers play. But Mason Crosby going 3 for 3 on field goals last night, including a 54-yarder last night. So Mason Crosby, I guess the 54-yarder was the longest in Lambeau Field history by a Packers kicker. Of course, it's not the longest in Lambeau Field history ever, because we just watched David Akers kick a 63-yard field goal the previous week against the Packers, tying it for the longest kick in NFL history, which is kind of disappointing to see that from an opponent at the Packers' home stadium. But anyway, good job by Mason Crosby to kick a 54-yarder. Certainly nothing that there's, you know, that's a long field goal itself, a very long field goal. Longest by a Packers kicker ever, tied for the longest at Lambeau Field history. Hopefully he can break that at some point. But yeah, so just from the specialists all around, I mean, Mason Crosby, Tim Maste, special teams can only be described as an A last night. They gave up the one kind of long touchdown, or not a touchdown, kind of a long return to Devin Hester on a kickoff. But, you know, Mason Crosby helping to make the tackle there. And, you know, maybe you give him an A minus instead of an A for that on special teams, but the specialists really having a big impact last night all around and all phases of special teams. So great, great job there. Wow. Just what a game. Packers now 1-1 with, the rest of the season coming up ahead of them. They avoided going 0-2. They avoided the Bears taking an early two-game lead in the division over them. So, I mean, the Packers have that going for them. And, you know, it's such a positive performance last night. Such a positive, positive performance from last night's game. You know, I've talked about all three phases of the game here, offense, defense, special teams, and for the most part doing well in all of them. The offense a little bit, you know, not getting off to its a great start, but, you know, still doing enough to win. If we're going to talk about any negatives, and not saying I really want to talk about, but if we're going to nitpick here, and you know, every week at Bleacher Report after the game, I have to do my winners and losers report for the Green Bay Packers, coming up with an equal amount of losers as winners. Being forced to pick some losers, my top two choices were
JerMichael Finley and James Jones, you know. And for with both of them, it's just a matter of consistency with both of them. It's they can do good things, and they do good things. JerMichael Finley had such an amazing diving catch last night that you just look at him and you go, wow, look at that catch. And but you just don't see the consistency out of him. JerMichael Finley, of course, last night has the fumble, the big, you know, Packers are driving. They're at, I think when it happened, the 23-yard line, you know, about to get in the red zone. Even if they don't score a touchdown, they're setting themselves up for a field goal. And it was really costly when Finley catches the ball. Charles Tillman punches it out, you know, forces a fumble. And JerMichael Finley has another drop on top of that. And just disappointing. It's the same old Finley as last year. You know, just the lack of consistency drops every game. Happened in the first game this year. I mean, he does positive things. He helps out the team too. But they almost are negated by the negatives that JerMichael Finley brings. It just is frustrating. And James Jones last night, of course, kind of at fault for the interception in the fourth quarter that was disappointing. First of all, I do kind of, you know, question the play calling a little bit. I'm not sure. I believe that was that a first down or a second down play. Regardless, I thought the Packers should have been running the ball at that time, you know, run a little bit of time off the clock. And I realize you can't run the ball every play when you're up late in the fourth quarter. I mean, you don't want to, you still want to be, have a little bit of offensive balance, even if it, you know, skews toward the run. But, you know, I just thought, you know, they should have put the ball on the ground that play. But regardless, they throw it. Aaron Rodgers, you know, wasn't his best read either. But James Jones not, you know, working back for that football. Just kind of waited it for him to come to him. Instead of going to get it, that he could have done, ends up with an interception by Tim Jennings. So there's kind of your negatives for last night. And then people point out, of course, a big topic this week was Greg Jennings. Greg Jennings. I mean, for one, he's got the injury and didn't play. For two, people are debating about his future because he's in the last year of his contract. The media is you know, Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel proposes the Packers trading Greg Jennings. Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette talking about the possibility of the Packers using the franchise tag on Greg Jennings. And both of these things are in the future and not happening now. But just, you know, combining all this attention on him to being inactive for last night's game, just being a focal point for the national media and local and national media on Greg Jennings. And so, you know, I can understand how people, you know, got a lot. There was a lot of negative reaction to Bob McGinn's column this past week about proposing the trade of Greg Jennings. Because a lot of people don't agree with it. Of course, he's a very popular player or a very good player. Fans don't want to see a player like that leave, despite the difficulties of signing everyone, you know, that's upcoming with their contract situations, including Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, and B.J. Raji. You know, it's a tough choice, and then people will point to the poor performance of the receivers last night. James Jones, JerMichael Finley, in evidence of, okay, you got to keep Greg Jennings or, you know, at least not trade him away mid-season. You know, if he walks next year, so be it. But, you know, if you trade him, you at least, you know, you lose him this season and then you don't have him for any run at a Super Bowl. It's a tough choice. I mean, I saw Bob McGinn's point of view, and I saw how he rationalized it, and, you know, thinking that it's going to be very tough for the Packers to sign him anyway. If you trade him now, you might get a first-round draft choice. And I tell you, if somebody out there is offering a first-round draft choice for Greg Jennings, it's going to be real tough for the Packers to pass that up. And but, I mean, maybe we shouldn't talk about that now. Maybe we should wait. Let's bask in the glory of a Packers victory last night that really was, a good victory. What I think the Packers did last night is, you know, kind of made up for that 49ers game in which they were out-physicaled by the 49ers. The 49ers hit them and they hit them hard. You know, obviously a team with a good defense and a team that can pound the ball on the ground, the 49ers with Frank Gore. They're a physical team. And those the cornerbacks of the 49ers coming up and, you know, smashing the Packers wide receivers, including Greg Jennings. But the Packers were really physical last night with the Bears, you know, really pounding them. And, you know, I thought Jay Cutler doesn't really do himself a whole lot of favors. He kind of holds on to that ball, I think, a little bit too long sometimes and leaves himself open to some vicious shots. I mean, you saw it last night on the hit that he took from Eric Walden that helped to force the interception by Charles Woodson. But, I mean, the 3.5 sacks by Clay Matthews. There were a couple blitzes there when Morgan Burnett and A.J. Hawk hit Jay Cutler. And I'm missing some of them. I look through the stat sheet. The official NFL game book has the Packers as getting 12 quarterback hits last night. And, you know, putting Jay Cutler on the ground. And... man, you do have to laugh a little bit at Jay Cutler. Just the guy's attitude is just so weird. You know, he's seen on the sideline last night yelling at his left tackle, kind of, and he's just got such weird facial expressions. He always kind of looks pouty. And, I mean, you know, being very terse with the media and his interviews yesterday, I do think Jay Cutler is a talented quarterback. I really do think he is, but I don't know how the Bears can live with a guy who has an attitude like that when just the position of the position that he plays is so important. So important. You know, they could get by if they had a pouty player at, you know, a different position, a lineman, a wide receiver, doesn't matter. But when the face of your franchise is like that, you know, that is such a negative that I don't know how the Bears can continue with Jay Cutler as their quarterback. And I really do admit that he is talented. I think he can get the job done. But there's just, you know, I don't think his teammates will rally around him. How weird was it last night when Jay Cutler went and said, you know, he was kind of talking to Jamarcus Webb, his left tackle last night on the sideline, kind of, you know, he had some not so kind words for Jamarcus Webb and they were probably, you know, certainly... he was worthy of being chewed out. Jamarcus Webb was not having a good game. But then Webb just kind of laughed. Did you see that? They had like a close-up of it on the NFL Network. And Webb laughed at him and turned. And, you know, I don't know how the Bears do it. I think they're going to have to make a change sometime. And, you know, they're going to wait to see how the season plays out, obviously. They're not going to give up on Jay Cutler this early, but I mean, if the season goes sour for him, I don't know how you can continue with that. I really don't. And the Packers are so lucky to have a guy like Aaron Rodgers who, you know, you saw it last night where he got mad at James Jones, but his teammates respect him. And perhaps maybe Aaron Rodgers has the right timing. I don't know if that's what you want to call it. I mean, he got mad at James Jones in the immediate aftermath of the play that he gets mad and lets it be known. But that's it. You know, he lets it go then. And you know, it is James Jones is free to, you know, live his life the rest of the game and kind of maybe put it behind him, perhaps. You know, so hopefully we see a better performance from Aaron Rodgers going forward. Kind of pedestrian numbers from Aaron Rodgers last night. You know, he's, you know, one touchdown, one interception, has a passer rating of something like 85 it was. And, you know, really, let's go back to the Chiefs loss, you know, last year. Maybe was it even the Oakland game where he didn't do anything, you know, fantastic. But, you know, we're really talking about 4 out of the last 6 games, something like that. You know, games that have actually counted, not preseason. Aaron Rodgers just, you know, there was that streak of games where he had over 100-yard passer rating, and now they've just kind of been pedestrian a little bit. You know, he's getting the job done, but I'll tell you what, the better the Packers' ground game is going forward, the more it's only going to open up things for Aaron Rodgers and everybody else. I mean, the 49ers and the Bears played the same way. They played those safeties back. They were not going to get beat deep. And so, I mean, when you see that, you got to run the ball well. And the Packers were passable last night. They were good last night running the ball. And if you can start having success running the ball, then it's going to open things up. It's going to open up the play action pass. You might get a safety sneaking down once in a while, and then you can get the deep plays. So, I mean, that's what the Packers are looking for there. But fantastic to get a win last night on national television on the NFL Network, you know, on Thursday Night Football. How great is that? How great is that? Packers fans feeling very good about themselves, and they can feel good for such a long time now because they can boast about it all weekend. And then next weekend, the Packers have a long wait till Monday Night Football, so you can feel good about yourselves for a good time. For a long time. So have a great weekend, everybody. Going to take off here on Railbird Central. Get ready for a weekend of college football coming up here as well as the pros. I'll be posting my college football weekend preview tomorrow. Did an exclusive interview with California cornerback Mark Anthony for my column. So looking forward to that. I'm going to try to be doing that every week, doing an exclusive college football interview for our pseudo NFL draft preview column every Saturday here at Railbird Central. So looking forward to that. Thanks a lot, everyone. We'll be back on Monday morning, an exclusive interview with Packers long snapper Brett Goode on Monday morning. So make sure to check in then as well. We talked to him about the fake field goal for a touchdown and a Packers victory, so excited for that. We'll see you later, everybody. Thanks to Tom Crabtree for joining us on the show. Thanks to our live blog producers, John Rahor and Jamie Jors. My name is Brian Caribou, and we'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Umphrey's McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.
Sure.